What's up, comic book fans? Pete here from Comic Books Transformed, where me and my very good friend over there, Brian, discuss shows and movies that have been adapted from comic books. So, Brian, we are up to like episode 198 of our podcast. Can you believe that?
That's crazy.
Has there ever been anything else in your life that's like not work-related that you've been like that committed to?
No. Well, this is, how many years is this now?
I don't know. Going on like three almost.
Yeah, that's quite a bit, man.
Yeah. There's like our marriages, maybe our kids. I think that's pretty much it. I don't know if people know this, but Brian and I actually were in like a black metal band at one point when we were younger.
I was just talking about that again yesterday. Yeah, that was some good times. We played one show in my backyard because we were playing in a venue, a very small venue in our hometown, and it just got canceled because it was a local show and no one cares. it's funny that I think we got more people to come because it was in my backyard than if we would have played in the show in the venue. So it worked out.
Yeah, that was like, considering it was in your backyard, like, there's like 80 people there.
Yes, it was. If it wasn't 80, it was close to it. Like, you know, there was at least 50 people there, I'd say. But yeah, I was looking at pictures of it like a couple weeks ago. It's crazy.
Yeah. And that's because you went with the lead singer to go see Poison the Well, right?
Yes. Yeah. We saw Poison the Well on Friday night. It was good. And surprisingly, you know, we had some winter storms here in the New York area, and the show was in Brooklyn. I was dreading driving out there, but no problem. Like, you don't want to drive and park in Brooklyn on a Friday night, just generally. But it worked out really well, and the show was really good. And
good. Okay. Yeah. I don't think I've like listened to their music in like a long time, and I'm not even sure. Like, I have to check them out again. But
yeah,
like,
you haven't inspired me in 20 years. So.
Oh, damn. Okay. Well, let's hop into this. And if you guys are wondering why I'm wearing a coat and stuff, I'm in my garage in Texas. And it's kind of cold out, so it's cold in here. We're talking about Echo, the Disney Plus kind of spotlight show, the MCU spotlight show. And there's only 5 episodes. Brian and I are covering episodes 2 and 3 this morning. So, Brian, you want to give kind of a recap on what happened previously on Echo?
So the first episode, Echo, is a combination of new footage and footage from Hawkeye, and maybe a tiny, no, it wasn't any footage from Daredevil, right? I don't think there was, but Daredevil shows up. And that was pretty awesome. And we were both kind of riding that high. So, it's basically Maya is kind of, you know, figuring out what to do after attacking the Kingpin. She's going to kind of wants to take down his empire. And she goes back to her hometown to kind of recuperate for a little bit and then start her plan. And that's one of the things we sort of like, is that she kind of has like villainous intentions here.
Yes.
And I think that's a little bit different for the MCU, which we both liked, I believe.
Yeah. I do like that. She's pretty brutal. I think she did some things in the last episode that we watched, episode 3. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. She's not like a good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Maya, I wanted to talk about two things that this show has reminded me of. So I saw this tweet maybe 3 days ago, 4 days ago, where some guy was like, oh, so Echo is basically just like a Native American Avatar. And he's not talking about the James Cameron movie series. Oh. He's talking about Avatar: The Last Airbender.
And oh.
You're going to have to refresh my memory, Brian. Have you watched that show?
I have not. I did see the terrible M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Oh, God. That's like the equivalent of if like you'd never seen any Transformers stuff and then you watched like Revenge of the Fallen.
Oh, man.
Okay. Yeah. The Avatar The Last Airbender cartoon is like fantastic. And I watched it once by myself, once with my 13-year-old, and now we're watching it again with my 7-year-old. So
nice.
Yeah. So this one dude tweeted that Maya is basically an avatar from that show. And the way that show works is there's like a special character that can do the elemental powers that, like, because there's people have the powers of the different elements, right? Earth, fire, water, air. And there's one person that can do all of them at once. Their power gets passed down from generation to generation. They're sort of reincarnated. I think that that's what they were getting at about Maya. It seems like she has some kind of power that's going all the way back to Chaffa, who's the founder of their clan in that first episode. And then we see flashbacks in other episodes.
Yeah. And I think what I think we kind of said this in our last review of the first episode, that it seems like they were going to go in a direction where they were going to give her, give Echo some kind of powers. Yeah. That were, because, you know, in the comics, she doesn't have powers, but she was briefly the host of the Phoenix Force. But that's not, that whole idea and concept hasn't really been integrated into the MCU. Right. And I think they kind of got to do that with Jean Grey before they give it to somebody else.
Yeah.
It's movie-wise, right. Even though we've seen it twice already in movies, and they probably won't even touch it for a while when they finally get to X-Men. But yeah, I think they're going to give her powers. And, you know, I don't necessarily think that they're related to the powers of the Phoenix there, but she seems to have some kind of extra strength or something so far, you know, when her hands start glowing with the symbols.
Yeah. Yeah. There is like at least strength. It seems like whatever it is, it like enhances her abilities. Right. Yeah. And we see it demonstrated with different characters on the show. In episode 2, the title is called Loak. Now, Loak is a, like, she's a Native American, and she's around in 1200 AD. She is participating in a game of Choctaw stickball, which I was saying was like Native American field hockey, right? Or like lacrosse.
Lacrosse, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And her team is going to lose, and I believe the stakes are if they lose and they're going to be forced into, like, bondage or something.
No, they were going to be forced out of the valley they lived in.
Oh, okay. That's not as bad. I mean, that's bad, but it's not like, yeah. And so she doesn't want to be exiled, and she starts to have that power, and then she just becomes this amazing stickball player.
Yeah, man, that game gave me some like weird anxiety. You know, when the ball drops on the ground and they're all like, there's like 20 guys like standing there like fighting for it. I was like, yes. What the hell, man?
Yeah, it was intense. I mean, what do you think about these sequences that, you know, are in the past?
Yeah, I mean, they've been interesting so far. They're giving us, you know, like you said, that kind of Avatar passing down the powers kind of deal. So it's been interesting so far.
Yeah, it's fun because it's like a comic. Like, a lot of comics use framing devices. They kind of use scenes to bookend issues. Like, a new issue starts and it has like a sequence in one spot, and then it goes to the main story. And that's just what this is right here.
Yeah.
And it's cool just kind of seeing, because I think that the idea is that, like, Maya is going to have like the abilities of all these different Native American women.
Okay.
Yeah. Which brings us up to this point right here. Maya is MacGyver.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know. Was this the second or third episode?
It's the third episode. So it's the third episode.
She puts together this little like gun that shoots ball bearings, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was interesting and a interesting choice, I guess. I guess she's taking after, they're saying she's taking after her grandfather, who seems to be some kind of tinkerer himself.
Yeah.
You know, Scully, played by Graham Greene, who we've seen pop up in several shows that we've covered.
What else was he on?
The Last of Us, most recently. Maybe that was it, actually. But I guess I've seen him in other sci-fi shows, I guess.
I always remember him from Die Hard with a Vengeance. Long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're saying she gets that power from her grandfather, or like that ability. Like, it's not necessarily like a inherited like superpower. It's just like her grandfather's.
Yeah. Ability. Although it's kind of weird. And this is the kind of thing that I keep thinking about in the show. She left this area. I forget where it is. 20 years ago. And she comes back.
Yeah.
And it seems like she has not had contact with any of these people in 20 years.
Yes.
And it's just weird how much they remember about her. and yes. that, like, how much they all remember Sign and all that.
Yes.
Like, you know, that one guy, Biscuits, that she keeps, like, interacting with.
Yeah.
I mean, he must have been, like, two or three or something like that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
he knows all the Sign. I mean, I guess they could have still been signing or whatever. I don't know. But it doesn't seem like there's any other characters that are deaf around them. So right. it's like, I don't know. I just think about if I met up with someone that I knew 20 years ago and had zero contact, you know, I hadn't seen them as a child, like, would you have still, like, remember anything? Would you have that familiarity?
I'm glad that you asked that, because I actually did learn sign language when I was in college. I can't say that I was, like, this amazing student and then I, like, really absorbed the language, but, you know, college for me, I'm an old dude. It's like almost 20 years ago at this point. And I know, like, basic signs at this point, like real basic, like maybe like 10 signs. And, you know, that was from learning it in college. Now, I wasn't like living with a person that was deaf and I had to use it all the time. But yeah, I mean, if you don't use it, you lose it, they say, right? And yeah. so it's funny. Maybe they just kind of would all get together like every week and be like, we have to practice our signing, you know, to talk to Maya. And they just would practice for this day.
But yeah, especially all in a little circle and like, maybe Maya will come home today.
Right. So home, come. Yeah. And it's funny because I watched this show. You know, sometimes I watch these shows at my mom's apartment because I go there on my night off. And, you know, she'll be there sometimes and she will like kind of have her two cents, even though she might not know what's going on in the show. And she was intrigued by the show because my mom is a sign language interpreter. She was saying that they use two different types of sign language in this show. They use American Sign Language and Signed Exact English, which, like, Signed Exact English is like you are literally every word that you're saying, you're signing it in that order. In American Sign Language, what's interesting about that, and that's what I learned in college, it doesn't go in the same kind of order that when the way we say words, like in sign language, it doesn't go in that order. It goes in a different order.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, you could probably say that about most other languages. You know, the order of how the words are said is not the same way that we would speak in English.
Yeah. But what I like about this show and sign language is that there is no kind of like they don't try to compensate for the fact that their hero can't like talk. There's not some kind of weird thing where like she actually can talk and like maybe another actress voices for her or you can hear her thoughts. It's like literally the only way that we know what Maya is thinking is through sign language.
Yeah.
And I think that's very impressive. I think that it kind of makes her an exceptional character in this MCU thing, which is, you know, going on what, like 15 years and 30 something movies. She's a pretty exceptional character.
Yeah.
Yeah. She like, yeah, I mean, I think about it when I watch the show, you know, just, we talked about this last week, how this is a woman who's Native American. She's missing her leg and she is deaf. And, you know, that's a very uncommon character just because of those factors. But then also you keep saying how, like, she is not really a good guy. And I think that's making me really appreciate the show that she's so different from what we see in most MCU stuff.
Yeah, it's almost more in line with, like, the Punisher in a way.
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know what, we talked about all those Netflix shows. We didn't bring that one up. Did you watch that show?
No, I didn't because, like I said, I was watching everything sequentially and I dropped off in Luke Cage and the Punisher individual show came after that. So yeah. I did see the Punisher in Daredevil season 2, which was awesome. Yes. So I do have that little bit of exposure there, but I really got to go finish those. Speaking of which, I have heard mixed reviews of this show or mixed feelings about the show. Some people think it don't like it at all, but it has done okay. Like critically, it's like, I think like 73% on Rotten Tomatoes or something like that.
Nice.
And apparently it sparked a lot of old watching of Daredevil on Netflix.
I can see that.
Disney Plus. Sorry.
Right.
Disney Plus. There we go.
Right. That's good. I mean, that's definitely good news. You know, for something like this, you want this to do well because it is kind of different from what we've been seeing in the MCU. Like last night, I went over a friend's house that basically we hadn't hung out with them since COVID began, right? So we're talking like 3 years and we haven't hung out with them. And I mean, he might be listening to the show right now. That'd be kind of awesome. But he had always talked about Marvel stuff with me, and his son, who I hadn't seen in 3 years, is like a huge Marvel fan. Nice. And it's interesting because like when you talk to people that are not like you and me, they're kind of just like more like normal people. There's this big dissatisfaction with Marvel, right?
Yeah.
And I'm a little hesitant to like promote a show like Echo, but I feel like this is more accessible to regular people than like the weird kind of stuff that we've been getting from the MCU recently. What do you think?
Yeah, I think Netflix had the right idea with that kind of street level universe. And I think that's where Marvel TV would excel. It will excel if they continue with it. Leave out the more superpowered stuff. Leave out the cosmic stuff. And I think you stick with that kind of stuff. Like if they would have did Moon Knight without all that other stuff, I that would have worked a lot better, I think.
Oh my God. Yeah.
You know, and it's funny too, because in the comics they've really it feels like they've gone beyond the street level stuff with Moon Knight particularly. Mm-hmm. And maybe that works better there. I don't know. But I think TV wise, it's just easier to do. It's easier to make an accessible show for the masses about street level heroes without any crazily fantastical powers.
Yeah, that is a really, really great point. I think we brought that up when we were covering Moon Knight. And like, yeah, you're right. Like Moon Knight, street level guy doing kind of like Batman type stuff. That's much better than like Moon Knight, Egyptian god pantheon stuff.
Yeah.
It's funny because in the comics too, I think the comics have been affected by the MCU, just like most books are. And at this point, there actually has been like two Moon Knight comics like going on simultaneously. There was a miniseries called City of the Dead, and then there's just the main Moon Knight book. And the main Moon Knight book is more like street level Daredevil type show, and then the City of the Dead is like, it almost feels like they're kind of like retelling the show but like in a comic, and that's where they bring back the Silver Scarab, right?
Yeah.
So like they bring back that character in the comics, or like they introduce her as a superhero in the comics, and you know, it's all this stuff in like the afterlife, and there's all these like Egyptian gods and stuff, and you know, I just really like that main Moon Knight title better.
Which is funny. It's funny you mentioned Batman before, you know, because the comparisons are definitely there. But that's kind of what Batman does. You have like the street level book, and then you have Batman in space.
Right. Which is literally it's a comic right now.
Yeah,
right,
yeah. Which I'm reading.
Oh, nice. Is it good?
I've only read the one issue so far, but it's interesting. I mean, it's weird because it's like they don't explain how he gets there or why he goes there yet. He's okay. Just on this spaceship, and like, he's like in like prison sort of, I guess.
Yeah.
And like Batman is like a janitor at some point, and he's walking around and is like mopping floors in the Batsuit.
Oh my God.
But like it's not bad though. Like I'm laughing when I'm saying that, but it's not bad.
Yes. You see, people, we have video documentation right now of how Brian helps ruin my life. Because Brian literally just says like, hey, did you check out this book? Or I'm reading this book and I have an illness. And so my illness is, oh, Brian said comic book words, so now I'm going to go buy this book.
Well, hey, it works both ways, because every time you post something you buy, I'm like, oh, shit, I should go read that. Like, The Sacrificers. I read the first issue, and I kind of just dropped off of it. But then I went out and bought six issues of it.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's good, though.
Yeah, no, I have to still read it, but I had to order them online because I couldn't find some of them somewhere.
Yeah. No, I know that struggle, too. Yeah. And it's cool. Here's a little side tangent, but like Rick Remender, he does like a little introduction to the series at the back of the first issue, and he says his favorite filmmaker is David Lynch. And I'm like, oh yeah,
nice.
That's very good.
Nice.
Yeah. But you see, okay, this is actually a sign right here. Me and Danny do this sometimes where we say, oh, notice how we're talking about all these other things versus the main thing. It must mean that we're not really into it. So let me, I want to tie it back to what we were talking about before. On the bottom right now, it says Maya is MacGyver. And when I was talking about introducing the show to my friend, or like my friend might like this, I was thinking about how, oh, they would have to see this scene where Maya makes this like advanced weapon in like 3 minutes out of roller skate parts.
Yeah.
That sequence, I found that to be so goofy and ridiculous that that basically took me out of the show completely.
Did it have that effect? Unnecessary in a way too, because it's like, you know, there had to have been some other way to get that like weird white trash lady to just open the door so she can kick the crap out of her. I mean, I imagine that lady, I mean, she had a gun, of course, but I imagine she probably wasn't a very good fighter.
Right, right.
You know, all they needed to do was get her in the room, and that was it. But yes. She needed to make this like ball bearing thing to like knock the light out and like angle it outside this little like entry window above the door.
Yeah.
It was like a little convoluted. I mean, the fight scene that that followed that was really good.
Mm-hmm.
But I do kind of wish that she didn't have, you know, the roller skate gun.
Yeah, it had a fucking laser scope on it.
Had a laser pointer on it. Yeah, I don't know why there's a laser pointer in a skate shop.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I thought it was like ridiculous. It's like in a comedy and stuff where they parody MacGyver and they just put together something ridiculous in like 2 minutes. You know, it was too much. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But okay, so that's episode 3. Let's just kind of like touch on the beats of episode 2, Loak. So I don't know if I mentioned this in the show. I think we talked about it before we recorded, but like basically every episode is named after the Native American woman that is a ancestor of Maya. And she's essentially like kind of like remembering, she's gaining their memories. We see flashbacks in every episode where the Native American woman essentially becomes aware that she's part of this lineage, you know? And so we had the stickball thing in the beginning. And then this episode, the set piece, Maya actually does realize she's connected to this power. And she sees that woman, Loak, when she has her flashback. Maya sees it during a sequence that I actually wasn't that impressed with either, the train scenario. What did you think of that train situation?
Yeah, so the goal here was that, you know, in the previous episode, she had asked Henry, her uncle, if she could have access to one of the shipping containers that was going to like one of Wilson Fisk's factories or the armory, I guess, where they have store a bunch of weapons. Just so she can sabotage it in a way. And he says no, and she just takes it upon herself to jump on the train and, you know, sabotage one of these crates that has some weapons in it, and which ultimately leads to blowing up this whole factory where Kingpin apparently has all of his weapons, which doesn't make sense. the other thing – so, yeah, this scene was a little far-fetched here. Like, I don't know. It was almost like a video game level in a way, because there's like these guards in between the train. I'm like, why would there be guards in between the train where there's no, like, there's no railing or anything like that? They're just standing there on this flat surface without anything to hold on to. They're just going back and forth like this, like in a pattern. And I know, you know, obviously Maya is deaf and it's a train is very loud and all that, but she's jumping around, falling like a full body weight, falling on the top of this thing, and no one fucking hears her at all. So I definitely, like, I couldn't suspend my disbelief for some of this here.
I will say,
and I don't know if this is a positive or like that, but I was shocked at the point where her leg gets caught. And, like, you know, I imagined, like, if, you know, it's almost like that weird Wolverine thing where it's like only these really horrible things happen to the person that can kind of shake it off. The X-Men are fighting and no one gets hit except for like Wolverine and Colossus because it doesn't do anything to them where they can heal.
So right.
She gets her leg mangled because it's a prosthetic and she can replace it, unlike she's a human.
Right.
a person with both legs would, you know, like they wouldn't have shown that if she didn't have a prosthetic.
Right. Very good point. Yeah. And they essentially were just setting up the sequence where like she has to go see her grandfather and they have to kind of talk about the past, and he's going to make her like a new leg, and that's going to be symbolic. So, I mean, yeah, it is kind of set up, and that's a really, really good point. Like, often in X-Men comics, you know, you'll have like 15 guys with guns pointing at the X-Men, and the X-Men run at them, and then they just essentially turn all 15 guns right on Wolverine, you know, and not the rest of the team. I actually did like that sequence, and I was like, oh shit, could you imagine if that had been a flesh and blood leg that had gotten caught in there? I was like, oh, that would have been pretty painful.
Yeah.
There was a guy that was tweeting. He said that he was watching that episode in his office with the lights off, and he still couldn't tell what was going on in that sequence.
Wow.
I mean, did you feel
pretty dark?
Yeah. But I like your comparison with the video game level. Yeah, I mean, that's very accurate. You were talking about suspension of disbelief, and there's a part where she jumps off that train and just bounces off her cousin's car, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I was trying to figure out the physics of that too. Like, because I guess they're going the same direction. I don't know how that car was keeping up with the train either. But yeah, she bounces off the windshield, and then she like grabs onto the very back of the truck. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, what happens with comic book adaptations in general is it's implied like, oh, if they have some kind of level of power, then they should be able to withstand more than a regular human could.
Yeah.
You know, if they have like a power that's not related to strength or anything like that, just by them having a power, they can kind of take more damage than regular people.
Yeah. But yeah. And it's at the same time too, like they're coming up on a tunnel and, you know, they're going the speed of a train, and that guy just veers off, like, you know, almost like in a cartoon fashion, you know, about to hit a wall. I don't know how that truck didn't flip over either. Maybe that whole scene in general just threw me off, and I was just starting to critique everything from that point on.
Yeah. I mean, because you have that suspension of disbelief watching comic book shows, but then it just gets too ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, this part is where we're getting kind of this weird kind of territory, but like, I love that sign language is used and that like, there's no exceptions made for Maya. She's always communicating through sign language. But like, you'll have a guy driving a truck like 90 miles an hour, and he's like signing while he's driving the truck, you know, and it's like, like a situation like this always works in regular standards because the person is just maybe just yelling, you know, and they can hear it without looking. But essentially, if he's communicating something in the truck, she's looking at his hands while he's driving, you know?
Yeah. So you kind of need both hands to sign.
Yes. Exactly. So that whole scene was kind of goofy. Episode 2, I didn't think was bad, but like, I was like, oh, this is a little rough. That train sequence was rough. You mentioned the uncle before. What do you think about the uncle? Do you like him?
I like the uncle. He seems to be kind of, you know, like a middle ground on his stance with Maya. Like, he kind of wants to reconnect. He thinks, you know, opposing to the grandmother, who is like, you know, doesn't want her around because she's a bad influence on Biscuits, and she kind of sees too much of her father, who she did not like, you know, and she sees the father as the reason why her daughter died. So,
yes.
But the grandfather seems to be like kind of like the mediator there.
Yes. That's a very good point. Is it Biscuits plural? Like, it's multiple Biscuits?
Yeah. I have the closed captioning on, or maybe it's just, maybe I just think I do because all the sign language is obviously captioned. But yeah, it is Biscuits.
Okay, because he probably eats a lot of biscuits. Okay, like me.
Yeah. Oh no, I'm not gonna shame him. Yeah, it is biscuits. It is biscuits plural.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not gonna shame him. I eat a lot of biscuits too. So you know, all these characters are in episode 3, which is called Tuklo. Once again, it's named after a Native American woman that's an ancestor of Maya's. For Tuklo, it's kind of cool. They did this sequence that was like, I always think of the beginning of Three Amigos when they show the Three Amigos movie. This one is like a silent film where obviously like all the sound and the dialogue they show is like a text on the screen. In this case, it's a show about a girl whose father is one of the light horsemen, who are essentially like Native American law enforcement agents. And Tuklo wants to join them, but then she can't because she's a girl. Right. Did you get kind of Mulan vibes watching that? Ryan.
Yeah, totally. And I did like the sequence. I like the presentation of it, you know, that kind of movie format. Talking about that suspension of disbelief here, there's a point where, like, you know, her father and whatever is, like, pinned down, and, you know, she arrives and kind of saves the day. And I totally get that she's a good marksman and all that, but she literally stands up in the middle of a rock, like, you know, and just completely open. I don't understand how she wasn't shot. You know, like have her behind some cover, at least, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. That bothered me that she was like, you know, this was like the X-Men thing we were talking about there. This was, you know, if this was Wolverine, he would have got shot 1,000 times. But if it was another character, nope, she can perfectly stand there wide out in the open and just not take any hits whatsoever.
Yes. Well, this Native American power that's been passed down for generations to generations, it might be plot armor. The Native American plot armor.
That's a good
one. Thank you. That's shout out to all the like tens of people that watch this and like it. Okay. So anyway, yeah. So I mean, that sequence it's done well, but yeah, there's a little bit of suspension of disbelief issues there too. Maya gets her ability later, I think, when she's shooting the fucking skate gun, right?
Yeah.
She's like, yeah. She's like a marksman with it. And I actually really like when she shoots the white trash woman with it, because she like unloads on her. It's like,
yeah,
you know. I also like Maya's pretty mean. Like she sends a text message to the guy that kidnapped her, and it's like the white trash woman on the floor, and it says something like "See you soon, Maya," or like the exclamation point. I love that. So we should talk about that sequence. Basically. There's a guy that works for the uncle. He works in the skate shop. He like cleans the skates. He's kind of like the DJ. He is connected to the Kingpin on some level, and he calls in the Kingpin's forces to basically come to Oklahoma to get Maya. Now he kidnaps Maya, and we haven't mentioned the cousin yet. Do you remember the cousin's name off the top of your head?
Bonnie.
Oh, you're so good. We've had a lot less of like middle-aged men forgetting things this episode.
It's coming. Don't worry.
We'll
hit our quota.
Yes. Yeah. Good. Okay. Good. So, Bonnie ends up getting roped into this too, and then Bonnie and Maya are locked up together. They kind of have this moment where they're able to interact with each other. This once again is an example here. There's a sequence where Maya is looking through the materials, and her cousin is signing to her, and she essentially has to stop and look at her cousin who's signing to her. Whereas in like a regular movie, like the person would just be like talking and the other person would be like looking without paying attention to them, you know?
Yeah.
So these little subtle differences, but I actually really appreciate them. Did you think that this scene was sort of more intense and more violent than a typical MCU show?
Eventually, yes. But so I had to comment about this particular conversation first too. And just the character of Bonnie in general. I mean, we saw a young Bonnie in the first episode. They seem to be like best friends. They probably viewed each other as sisters. But again, I have to bring up that 20-year thing. They have not conversed in 20 years. Bonnie is obviously angry, but it seems like she was just like waiting a little bit too long. You know, like you kind of got to forget about these things at some point, sort of. You know,
move
on. It seems like she has not moved on at all. And we knew they were going to meet up at some point because they've been talking about like, don't tell Bonnie Maya's back. You know. Everybody's kind of whispering that behind their backs. And then there's a point where, you know, Bonnie comes in and then Maya just frees herself at that point. And then, you know, the white trash people come in and they're like, oh, no, you guys can't do this. And Maya punches Bonnie in the face.
Yeah. That's pretty random.
She's kind of like an asshole. And she's like, he's like, hey, I haven't seen you in 20 years. Like,
yeah.
I had to make it real.
Yes. Yeah, later on, Bonnie's like, oh, that really hurt, right? Like, yeah.
I don't know. It's like they're going out of the way to really show you Maya's not a good person.
I love it, dude. I love it. She, at one point, has like a little knife on her foot, right? Or her like shoe. It pops out. I think that's how she actually
gets that's it. How she opens it up. Yeah, the knife is in the boot on the shoe that is removed from her leg temporarily.
For prosthetic. Yeah. That's good because it's like it's basically like something that you think would debilitate her because they've taken off her foot essentially. It actually helps her get out. Yeah. I like that. And then she's brutal too, because like she does like cut a guy's throat with that fucking knife at one point during the fight.
Yes, she does. Yeah. And another thing I really like too is that, you know, I've kind of criticized how everyone remembers sign language after 20 years after probably not using it. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But I really appreciate when there are characters that don't sign and they actually need. I actually really thought that was a nice detail that Bonnie had to interpret for these white trash people.
Yes. I love that we keep calling them white trash people too.
They were, because they were.
Yeah, they absolutely were. They absolutely were. And so they get their comeuppance. The guy who's the DJ / skate cleaner.
Vicky? I think his name is Vicky.
That sounds right. Yeah. He realizes that they're not gonna pay him and he tries to run away. And then the guy who's like the main guy for the kingpin in this scenario shoots him in the back. Now I remember seeing on the coming up in Echo, they showed a shot of this guy like leaning backwards with his blood all over his face. And I was like, oh, that's intense. Like, what's happening there? And I thought that was like one of the most disturbing things I've seen in an MCU show.
Yeah, because you essentially do actually see his face as he's dying. You know, like that's the focus of the shot.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a little extreme for an MCU show. Like, this probably the most extreme thing we've seen in a Disney MCU show.
Right. Yeah, there's
not cutting Daredevil stuff, you know.
Exactly. The Daredevil stuff has maybe been worse in some ways. Yeah. Then we have this sequence where Maya is fighting the henchmen, and there's a lot of sequence. There's I think three times where she gets knocked back onto like a pinball game, or she like gets knocked through glass. There's at least two.
Yeah.
Where the camera is like inside. Or it's like it's above the pinball machine and she's like pushed back onto it.
It's the pinball cool machine and the claw machine. She gets thrown into the claw machine.
Right.
And she
right.
breaks through the wall.
Oh, right. Okay. So what do you think of Maya's like martial arts skills and stuff in this?
It's pretty good. I could see how she was able to sort of stand her own against Daredevil. Yeah. It worked pretty well here. I did like some of the shots in this fight. There was also one shot that was kind of almost like a side-scrolling video game shot also, where it was like very horizontal and, you know, you saw a lot of the floor and she like jumps up on the pool table or something.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good fight scene overall and a very brutal scene because she does shoot a few people right in the head.
Yeah. She shoots
and not people. Not with the roller skate gun, with an actual gun.
That's right. Oh, they're so unlucky. No, I think she breaks her necks and, you know, we're talking about white trash and stuff. There's a sign in the roller skating rink. It says "Make America Skate Again," and yeah, I had to mention that because that was just too damn funny. Like, and she comes crashing through it at one point. Yeah. So I'm watching this, and I'm actually watching this with my mom, and we're actually kind of impressed because it's kind of like John Wick, you know? She's kind of like a deaf John Wick, right? I was gonna. Oh man, I can't believe I'm saying this, but like. I was going to say that, like, this show is, it's like Silent Bob and John Wick together. We actually have to have enough people to get canceled. So, you know, I think we're okay. But yeah, Silent Bob and John Wick together. And we're watching the sequence. I'm like, oh, this is really good. And then they get captured. And my mom said something like, she's like, oh, wow, all the bad guys recovered, huh? Because there's like 20 bad guys surrounding them at the end. And then they have a gun to each Maya and her cousin and her uncle's heads. Did you think that it was going to go down the way that it did with a phone call from the kingpin?
Well, yeah. I mean, Maya has required that plot armor power from her ancestors. So.
There you go. Perfect. Yes. Yeah, so a little spiral on her hand. And I think, what was the phone call? It was a New York State of Mind or in a New York Minute? It was
some New York Minute. Call. Yeah, it was in a New York Minute, I think. So essentially Kingpin calls Zane and says, leave her alone.
Yes.
Eventually we find out why. But that was basically the only way that to get out of that situation.
Yeah. My last question, unless you have other things to add, is what do you think of the actor / character of Zane?
I liked him because he was like, he was kind of like that, like, over-exaggerated mobster type. Like, he fit well. I think it worked.
Okay.
You know, it's an exaggeration of like a gangster sort of thing. I appreciate it. I know maybe someone might have think it was too much, but I don't know. I got a laugh out of it.
Yeah. He, that actor, I'm just trying to find where he is, like his name on here. There's Scully. Oh, what the fuck? Whatever. The actor that plays him, he's in like a ton of HBO things. He's usually just a supporting character. And I can never tell.
Andrew Howard.
Thank you so much. He's probably British then, but I can never tell his ethnicity because he always plays a character with like a different accent. Like sometimes he's like a Russian guy here. I don't even know what the hell accent he has in this.
Yeah, it did seem some kind of Russian sort of thing. And you're right, he is British.
Okay, there you go. There we go. Yeah. Well, that's one thing I kind of wanted to bring up too is that I think it's weird that Maya's father was in the tracksuit mafia. And that, like, they seem to be a big part of the Kingpin's organization in the show because they're just kind of like a joke organization and they're all Russian guys in the comics.
Yeah, I mean, this does go back to the you know, her Echo's comic origin. You know, she was her father did work for the Kingpin and the Kingpin did have him killed. But at the same time, he kind of made the Kingpin promise to, like, take care of her. So I think that's kind of why he's so fixated on her. They kind of did it in a different way in the show, I think. But like he wants to protect her in some way, even though she did shoot him in the face.
Yes.
Which also happened in the comics. I didn't know that. That's actually from the comics.
Okay. Okay.
And then the Kingpin had like eye reconstruction surgery, which sounds a very comic booky thing.
Yes. Yes.
And looked exactly the same afterwards.
Okay. Well, that's cool. I'm looking forward to that. I mean, this episode obviously ends with the Kingpin at Maya's grandmother's old house, right?
Yeah.
And so we only have two episodes left. I feel like she's going to have some kind of confrontation with him here. Not necessarily a physical one. And then he's going to essentially threaten her. He'll probably offer her the chance to come back. And then she won't accept. And then he'll threaten her. And then I guess we'll just kind of see the fallout in the last two episodes.
Yeah, I agree here. My general thoughts on this show is that although I appreciate the connection to her ancestors, I'm kind of feeling like I don't want her to have powers. I feel like the show would be better off without her having powers. Keep it totally street level. And that I think I feel like we like the first episode. We're kind of middling after these two. I think they're going to push that power thing a little too far. And it's just going to go off the rails for us. So that's my guess on what's going to happen in the next two episodes.
You know, Brian, you and I are on the same page. I actually do kind of think that that's going to happen too. I did see some tweets about Bullseye. Do you know any spoilers about this show?
No, I don't. I'm very curious, though, because I know they sort of did Bullseye in Daredevil Season 3.
And you didn't see that, right? Because you said you were...
not, no. Yeah. But my wife, Kristen, saw it.
Yeah.
And I know I'm curious if it's the same actor because the actor was from a show I really loved, Fringe.
Oh.
So, playing a very different character. So if he shows up, I mean, that's the first I'm hearing of it, but I'd be very excited.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I don't know, I'm hoping this guy is a real guy. I didn't realize we had some comments.
Oh, nice.
Dubs and Hooters, so maybe I don't know, might not be a real person. How's it going? Great stream, bro. Our content is similar. Definitely drop a follow. Okay, I think that's on StreamYard. Thanks, Dubs and Hooters. It's kind of taking us out of it, but yeah. I was thinking about Bullseye because Bullseye is actually one of my favorite Marvel villains, but I haven't seen him in a long time. He might be dead.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in a while either. That's good. That's a good question.
Yeah, he usually makes my top 10 list, but I usually have a standard where it's like I have to kind of be reading their book or have read their book kind of recently, and I haven't seen him in years.
Yeah, and it's also fun to point out, you know, all the time that Bullseye is a lot better in the comics than the Ben Affleck Daredevil movie.
Come on, you know you want to do the thing where you point at your head. Right. We have to do that pretty much every single time. We bring that up, and then we bring up the Venom and the Lobster Tank.
Lobster Tank.
Yes.
I knew you were going to say that.
There you go. Yes. Yeah, Brian and I, we've known each other for like 20 years at this point, if not more.
Yeah.
And we've been doing this show for almost three. You guys have watched us for episode 198, I believe, of our podcast. If you haven't subscribed already, please do. We'll be back. We're going to finish the last two episodes of Echo. next week, and then you know, we have more fun stuff coming up in 2024.
Like Masters of the Universe.
Oh yeah! Okay. You got me excited. That fucking trailer was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So we got Echo, and then Masters of the Universe Revolution coming up.
Revolutions, and we'll be continuing our Tomorrowverse coverage as well after that, or during that. Who knows?
Yeah, man. So subscribe, y'all, and we will see you guys real soon.